Lord, we are again grateful to be here. Lord, we ask you that your word would work mightily among us and in us. Oh, Lord, we want to be changed by your word, by that living word, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us this. If you do not give this, Lord, everything is vanity. We do have to see our Lord Jesus Christ as the living word, Lord, but we so desire that our hearts would be changed by your words as well. Lord, that it wouldn't simply be that in that day your word would stand in judgment against us, but Lord, that in this day it would liberate us to follow you fully. Help us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I am so very happy and glad to be here. I thank you for inviting me. I bring you greetings from my family. My wife, Diane, wanted to come. Bethany wanted to come. My daughter, both of them, could not come. The brothers and sisters in Memphis all send greetings, love, and affection. And the word that is on my heart today is a word about building. Actually, I came up with a title for it that I'm afraid is not a very good title, but I'll tell you what my thoughts were. I just put them down. How do you rebuild the place for God to dwell in the day of trouble with a few inexperienced, apparently ill-equipped, tired, frightened builders in a war zone in the middle of battle? Brothers and sisters, that's our situation, whether you see it or not, whether I see it or not, that is our situation. We are those I have spoken of. I speak to you as one of the troops. There is a war going on, and we are in the midst of it, and you either have to be blind, dead, or asleep not to know that. And we have the Lord of life. We have him who is our vision, and he can wake us up if we're sleeping, all that we might find the grace, because today is the day. Today is the day. All of the introductions are over. All of the longing has come. We are here in this day. It is the great day that is coming. It is the day that the Lord has prepared us for many years. I'm going to speak as to those who have experience and those who are mature, but I also speak, I described us a little bit earlier. It is for this day he has called us, for this time, for this season. And I want to speak, of course, from Nehemiah. You know, in Nehemiah chapters 2 and 3 mostly, 2, 3, and 4 perhaps, as well as in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read just a few verses from Nehemiah, but I'm going to come back to it, and I'm just going to speak practically about these matters. Nehemiah 2, start with verse 17. Then I said to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we may no longer be a reproach." I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official in Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, they mocked us and despised us, saying, what is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? So I answered and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, no right, or memorial in Jerusalem. Amen. Now, I want to read just a little bit from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 6. Familiar words. All these are familiar words. If you are looking for something new, look elsewhere. If you are looking for something real, oh, may the Lord give it to us today. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But let each man be careful how he builds. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed by fire, and the fire will test every man's work. Verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. When we talk about building, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about the relationship we have with God and the relationship we have with each other. Both of them are by the Holy Spirit. Both of them are consecrated relationships. None of them are natural, but they are spiritually the great reality of the universe because they are all in Christ Jesus. When we speak of building this house of God, it seems to me we have two perspectives. One is an earthly perspective, and the other is heavenly. I'd like to talk a little bit about it today. You know, the building of the wall around Jerusalem is mostly what I'm going to be speaking about today, but let me tell you, the wall and the temple are one in there. It's the place where God has caused his name to dwell. And I remember many years ago, probably over 25 years ago, I asked our brother Stephen, our brother Kong, what that wall represented. And he said, without a moment's hesitation, he said, it represents the Lord's people's relationships with one another. I was in, several people were there. It was one question among many, and he moved right along. Well, I thought that really sounds right. And then I looked in the scriptures and I couldn't see it. I couldn't make the relationship. So about several years later, I'm confessing something, I apologize, but I did. I asked you again. And without any hesitation, he told me exactly the same thing. So I said, Lord, you must show this to me. I must see this. And of course, it is so clear in all of the scriptures, you all know that. But I tell you, when I really asked the Lord to show me what that meant, he did show me that it's not a human relationship. It's not based on family. It's not based on friendships. It's not based on nationality or personality. It's not related, based upon economics. It's not based upon sex, age. It is spiritual. But it's so important. Both relationships are so important because they're all in Christ. Now, there are several questions that I want to ask you. And one of them is, when you look around in Richmond, when you look around today, what do you see? When you look in Christendom, yes. But also when you look in the church, what do you see? It has to start with that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, when I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers and some men of Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there is in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Gates are places where people come in and out. They're very important. Walls are very important. They're the things that separate that which is of God on the inside and that which is everything else which is on the outside. You know, when I look around in our country, boy, do I see that clearly. The walls are broken down. The gates are burned with fire. It's open. Where is the standing in the light and for the light? Where is that which is true? Brothers and sisters, when I look around the assembly in Memphis, I ask the same question. When you look around in the assembly here, you should ask the same question. I don't look around the assembly here. I'm not from here. Though I am not a visitor, with all due respect. You understand. Look around. Ask the Lord. Come unvarnished. Come plainly before Him and say, what is our situation, Lord? What about the gates? What about the walls? What about the remnant? Oh, Lord. We have escaped. We have survived. Is there reproach? Is there great distress? You know, the question comes up of where do you build? There are many things we could talk about. I'm not going to talk about that very much, but I will tell you the place that you build is the place where God has caused His name to dwell, where the testimony is. Read with me Nehemiah 1, verses 8 through 10. This is Nehemiah's response. He came, he fell on his knees, he fasted and prayed. Many tears, many days. He says, remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you have been scattered were in the remotest part of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. That is an appeal to God that He will not resist if it comes from our heart. You know, Nehemiah had a pretty good job. He was a cupbearer to the king. He was okay. But God's people were not okay. God's name was not okay. God's glory was not okay. The place where he called his name to dwell was in shambles. We begin with prayer from the heart. We've got to see. We've got to see what the situation really is, but then we've got to pray. We've got to really pray. What if our hearts are cold? We'll come to that. But so what? If we see the reality, come with your cold heart. Where else did your heart ever get warm? Oh, brothers and sisters, we have a sympathetic high priest. I just love Hebrews 4, where he says, you know, we don't come to one who is unable to have sympathy with us, we don't come to one who has not been tempted as we are, who doesn't understand our temptations. He's been tempted in all things such as we are. What a thought that is. What a tremendous thought that is. The one who died for our sins, who paid the price for the past, present, and future sins we'll ever do, is a sympathetic high priest who comes to us, who we may come to because he is a sympathetic high priest. So often the enemy makes us think what we have is a high priest who is not sympathetic, who is far off, and he says, you must get right before you come to God. Nonsense. We have to repent indeed. We have to really repent and turn to him, but he is full of sympathy. He is there for our weakness, and we are weak. We are cold. We are puny. We are few. But we are his. And there is grace and help at the throne of mercy where we may receive grace and help in the time of need. This is the time of need. There is a place. We are without excuse, brothers and sisters. There is a place to go with the things that you don't have, the things that you need, the things that I need. If you are unclear why you are here, there's a little book I would like you to get and read. There are some of them, I'm sure, back here. It's called Why Do We So Gather? Read that book in the light of the Holy Spirit. It's a quick read, and it will cut you from one end to the other. Every line you read, compare yourself to it and see if that is why you gather. There's so much in the Scriptures, but I didn't come to talk about that. But I tell you, it's there. It's there, and it's yours. It belongs to you. For the sake of the Lord's name. With what do you build? Nehemiah 2, verses 7 and 8. You remember Nehemiah went to the king after he had prayed to God. And he said, Lord, now give me favor in the sight of this man. But when he came to the king, he was sad. And the king said, this is the way, you're not sick. What's going on here? This is only sorrow of the heart. What's bothering you? And he was afraid because the king, you don't come into the king's presence with a frown. If you're the king's cupbearer, you know, the one he's trusting to give him something safe to enjoy and refresh himself with. He said, oh, how can I not be sorrowful when the city of my forefathers is in rubble? It's destroyed. It's a reproach. The gates are burned with fire. The walls are torn down. The place where my forefathers are buried. How can I be otherwise? He said, what do you want? He said, oh, I would go. And it seems, give me letters so that I can pass through the country to get there. Then we come to verse 7, and he says, and I said to the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city and for the house of God to which I go, or the house to which I go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was upon me. Oh, brothers and sisters, look what he asked for. He didn't ask for much. He just asked for timbers. That's very important. We'll come to that in just a minute. But I tell you, it's very important. You know, we may ask for what we need from God. He is the king. He is also God. And he will give it to us because his good hand will be upon us when we undertake this work. Doesn't matter if we're many or few. Doesn't matter if we're cold or lukewarm. He can change that if we come to him. If we confess our sin, if we turn to him. If we need strength, if we need timbers, we can ask for it. Timbers, wood in the scripture we know speaks of men. Nehemiah asked only for one thing, really, and that was for the timbers, for the wood for the gates. Fresh wood. Fresh believers, not necessarily new believers, but fresh. And old burnt stones. There are fresh believers in this room. There are those who have not put their hand to this work, who come to meet with the Lord, perhaps, but to build his house, to build a wall around that city. There are others that are needed, and we may ask for that from the Lord, for fresh timbers. And the old burnt stones, some of us around here are old burnt stones. We have experience. We've experienced the glory. We've also experienced the fire and the destruction. Many relationships are broken down. Many of the stones are not where they should be. Praise the Lord. That is the earthly view. Of course, the heavenly view is that the gold, the silver, and the precious stones are what we build with. The gold, the Lord Jesus himself, the silver, his redemption, the precious stones, that which he makes the living stone into. He himself is the precious stone, cornerstone. We are the living stones that he makes into precious stones. And it is important how we regard one another. You know, do we regard one another as precious? It's a question, brothers and sisters. If you would be built together, you must answer that question. And you must search your heart, and you probably need to adjust your heart, to bring it to him and say, oh, Lord, help me. We have such contempt for one another at times. We have such disdain. We feel so superior to one another. We are so much more important than one another, brothers and sisters. If this is a confessional and I am confessing, let it be so. But I will tell you, it's still true. It's still true, brothers and sisters. We've got to have our relationships right. We've got to have We've got to have what's important to God be important to us. The reality of eternity come on the earth. We pray it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is His will. Brothers and sisters, we must wake up. We must turn around. We must stop. Vision. Enthusiasm. Confidence. Nehemiah 2, verses 13 through 15. So I went out by night by the valley gate in the direction of the dragon's well and on to the refuse gates. Now these are glorious places, aren't they? At night, by the valley, yeah, some of us know something about the valley here. Some of you know something about the valley of the shadow of death, where you have to tell yourself you will fear no evil because you can't necessarily see at night even the lily of the valley. But you know by faith He is with you. To the dragon's well, it's on the right hand and the left. To the refuse gate or the ash heap gate. Inspecting the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up by night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned through the valley gate. Brothers and sisters, there's no mountaintop here. He is not looking from a lofty peak onto things. He is seeing things as they are, and He's going out at night in secret because there are enemies around. He's not going out to see what parts of the wall are good, what wonderful things are there. There are many wonderful things there. You know, brothers and sisters, when I say this, there is absolutely nothing but encouragement in my heart for the brothers and sisters here. I have told you many times the personal debt that I have to the assembly here. I will say it again, without any reservation. Praise God for your faithfulness. But that doesn't keep me from saying today the same thing that I say to myself, brothers and sisters. We must see things as they are. We must not look through rose-colored glasses. We must see the dark crevices and into them by the Holy Spirit and the light that He gives. We must assess the situation. But, verse 12, 17 through 20 of the same chapter, He comes back, okay? Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate, that its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. And I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. Brothers and sisters, I have something to say here. There's a lot of trouble. But God is favorable to us. You know, I love so much that parable that He gives of the steward that He leaves in His house. You know, He says, He speaks of the steward that's is giving his fellow servants their food at the proper time. And He speaks of the one who carouses and gets drunk with the drunkards, you know. But He says, blessed is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Feeding, giving the needful thing to his brothers and sisters when he comes. There is time for you to be that servant. There is time for you to hear the well done, good and faithful servant, for him to put you over all that he has. He's going to do it to somebody. Why not you? Why not me? There's time for that, because he said, he who is so doing. Now, if you take that as some sort of idea that you can just lay off until the last moment, how many times have you seen brothers and sisters that went the wrong way, that came to the end of their days and never found the place of repentance? If you haven't seen that, you've not been around very long, or you've not been looking. There's no promise. Esau sought that place with tears and didn't find it. He's coming at an hour none of us know, but soon. We all know it's soon. There is time for you to be that good and faithful servant. But there's not too much time. There's a lot of people got to be fed. It is the proper time. We need to be feeding one another, and we need to be giving one another life. Leaders. I don't speak of something formal here, though that too, but I do speak to those of you who would lead us in the building, and I hope it's every one of us, to do that. You have to see the situation as it is, but you also have to have the experience of God being favorable to you. You need to take the matter to the Lord, and you need to come back and say, no, the Lord is going to help us. You know, he has helped us before. We've been in difficult circumstances before. He who saved us can save us utterly. He is able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by him. For he ever lives to intercede. He's always praying for us, for those who come to God by him. Brothers and sisters, you have to see the situation it is. You have to come to the Lord, and you have to get something from him, something that I tell you is not enough. You need to see in his word that it's true. You need to hear from heaven. The Logos made the Rhema by the Holy Spirit. It is there. It is true. But your heart won't hear it and be changed unless you hear him say it to you. But he will, if you ask. Oh, if you ask, he wants to give it more than we want to receive it. All the rest of us, when we hear that, and that includes everybody but the one guy who's speaking, and then the next time there'll be another guy speaking, and it'll be all of those, including the first guy, except the guy who's speaking, and hopefully the guy who's speaking will hear himself and be encouraged by what he has seen. Amazing thing. They said, he didn't say we should arise and build. They said, let us arise and build. What he did was describe the situation. He did say, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so we will no longer be a reproach. You know, but they said, let us arise and build. And they put their hands to the good work. I have a question. You have a little time. You have a little life. You have a little vision. You have a little strength. How are you going to spend it? How are you going to spend it? We inherited vanity, a life of vanity. Has there not been enough time spent seeking the desires of the Gentiles? What about the kingdom? What about the house of God? What about that glorious place where he's called his name to dwell? You are the temple of God, but we also are the temple of God.
We are the house of God together, where he can be expressed, where he can be seen. You got something more important than that? Go do it. Do whatever God gives you to do. But today, you heard this. Brothers and sisters, God will give us success. You know, there is an answer to those who would discourage the building. I tell you, discouragement is a real enemy, and hope is the Lord's answer to it. We have a living hope. Our Lord Jesus is our living hope. But the discouragement ought to be answered by Nehemiah. Ought to be answered by those who have an answer. Those who would lead us in the building. Who are you? Give an answer. And the answer is this. The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion. You have no inheritance. You have no right in Jerusalem. Burnt stones, gates, broken down walls. Oh. That's the situation. And the remedy is to rise up and build. To get a vision from the Lord that will carry you. To hear that word from the Lord. What if our leaders don't have that enthusiasm that we think they should have? You know, when you go down in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, you see who is building the walls. I'm just going to touch on a little bit of that. We'll read the first couple of verses. Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of Hananel. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. Next to them, Zachar, the son of Imri, built. Each built next to one another. Starting with the priest. If you are a priest, you got a right to build. Our great high priest is building with us. Your brothers. He is our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. He is not ashamed to call us his brethren. This is us. If you're saved, this is your inheritance. This is what you get to do. This is what you're called to. You know, speaking of the building, I mentioned before, the building is not upon natural and family lines, not exclusive, not to the exclusion of others. But you know, brothers and sisters, we can build with families, with those that we are near to. We're supposed to build close at home. We have to deal with the things that are close at home. Because if we don't, how can we build with that that's far away? It's so easy to have relationships with people who are far away. I just love Jerry. Jerry never offends me. You know what I mean? And we don't see each other very often, do we, Jerry? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to belabor a point. What I am saying to you is virtual relationships are unimportant. They're trivial. By that I mean a relationship where you can take a pose on the phone or on the internet or whatever. You know what I'm saying. It's the down and dirty. It's the here. It's the leaf blowing. It's the coming out when the weather's bad. Brothers and sisters, we must build close together. We must build close to home with those near to us, but with consecration, with that which is set apart to the Lord, not with the natural. It's interesting. Their building was next to their homes, but it was not their homes, but it was their home. You know, the houses were built next to the wall, and each one repaired the part of the wall that was his house. Most of us had already repaired that first, but that which is next to it and next to the other. I ask about the what if you think the leadership's going in the wrong direction or doing the wrong thing? Let me just point something out here. Verse 5, chapter 3. Moreover, next to him, the Tekonites made repairs, but their nobles did not support the work of their masters. What if those who are noble among you don't support the work? Turn to verse 27 of the same chapter. The Tekonites made repair, but after them, the Tekonites repaired another section in front of the great projecting tower as far as the wall of Ophel. They did a double portion. Are there those among us who are not doing what they should do? Well, we can criticize them. We can feel very superior and smug. Or we can simply double up. Gird up our loins and build a second section. What's wrong with that? This is in the Bible. These guys are remembered. How many of you knew the Tekonites? You will meet them. So precious. You know, it's amazing. When you go through that list, you find the perfumers and goldsmiths, the merchants, the Levites, the officials. You also find the sixth son, the one who has a rented room, the man who had no sons his daughters built. Brothers and sisters, none of those people were builders. None of them knew squat about building. None of them understood how to build. And yet, they built by the grace of God. You understand what I'm saying? We're not qualified, so what? Our God is qualified. And He will give us success in this matter. You know, with the discouragement, chapter 4, verses 9 through 23, that's through the end of the chapter. I'm just going to touch on that because I want to show you something that's important. Verse 9. What had happened was Sanballat and the Arabs and everybody on the outside had plotted, and they said, we're going to come in and kill them. We're going to go in before the walls get too high. We're going to attack them. They won't know we're coming, and we'll kill them. And their brethren, the Jews, came to them 10 times and told them this. Can you imagine how discouraging that was? They're coming. They're going to come get you probably tonight. You know? Verse 9. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, yet there's much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. How about your strength? Are you tired? Let's read the rest of this. Our enemies said, they will not see or know until we come among them and kill them and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us in every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the spaces behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and will fight. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. They were fearful. They were tired. Someone rose and said, don't be afraid. Remember. Remember. It is the Lord who is great and awesome. It's His work. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. Fight, brothers and sisters. There's a war going on. And you are on the winning side, though you may be a casualty if you linger, afraid of the battle. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half my servants carried on the work while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried the burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore a sword girded to his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. And I said to the nobles, and the officials, and the rest of the peoples, the work is great and extensive. We are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Brothers and sisters, your God will fight for you. Our God is fighting for us. He has won the battle. And yet, He has won the war. He has left the battle for us because He wants us to be like His firstborn, the Lord Jesus. That's what this is, food for you. As we approach the gates of hell, you remember He said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you think there will not be resistance? Stuff put up in front of it? There'll be a drug addict who gets saved. There'll be a prisoner who gets saved in prison and who comes out and falls on his face. There'll be one that you're not sure is saved or not. There will be those of Islam who come among you. There will be those who have all sorts of strange isms among you. They are food for you. They are not stumbling stones. They are. There will be one who is addicted from among your own flesh and blood. There'll be one who has terrible marital problems. As you approach the enemy's stronghold, these which he puts up to be roadblocks, to put up as stumbling stones, God's intention is you make them into building blocks. See, it's not against flesh and blood you war. It's against principalities and powers. You set the captives free. You go forward. You run into all these situations. Is it messy? Sure. Is it troublesome? Absolutely. Is it pleasant? No. Do you know what to do? No, we don't know what to do. We must throw ourselves upon the mercy of the Lord, who is our great high priest. And He will fight for us. He will bring us through. None of us get saved because it's easy for us to get saved. It seems for some it's easier than others. It's never easy to get saved. Oh, brothers and sisters, we got to see what's going on. The trouble that we have, we've got to see that it is from the Lord to make us strong in the Lord. Not just strong. You know, His grace is sufficient. Paul learned that. Will you and I learn that? His strength is perfected in weakness. Will you and I learn that? Or will we remain sucking our thumbs? Spiritually speaking, you understand what I'm saying. I'm speaking to the man who is speaking to you, I promise you, in my heart. I hope he hears what he's saying. Verse 21, so he carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time, I also said to the people, let every man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem so that they may guard us by night and be a laborer by day. So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapons even to the water. Brothers and sisters, are you guarding one another? Are you helping one another in this thing? We know one another's weaknesses. We know our vulnerabilities. Are we using them to make ourselves feel superior? Or are we wearing out on the knees of our britches and coming before the Lord for the grace for this one and that one, and also giving the practical need that the Lord shows us to do? The first comes, then the second follows. So often we try to do something and we have not that which to give. We give something that turns out to be smoke and mirrors, not life in reality. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is so much. But let me tell you, we have a high priest that you must come to. In the day of battle, we all do. We say, Lord, help us enter into the battle. To know him in this way is so great a revelation. It's how you become like him. We say, Lord, teach me your ways that I may be pleasing in your sight. This is his ways. And to rely upon him and depend upon him, oh, it pleases him so much. Brothers and sisters, I hope when you see me, you will remind me of the things that I've said. I hope when you see the exceptions in my behavior, you pray for me and correct me when you need to. I do not speak out. This is, you know, I am simply telling you from inside there building that wall what I see. And I'm saying, look, it's a big wall. And we all need to be involved in this thing. It only takes one or two breaches. May the Lord show us and give us grace. Lord, we do ask that you would pierce our heart with your word, that all that is from you. Lord, we ask that there would be no escape from it. But we ask, Lord, that you would have your will done on the earth as it is in heaven, and your way be seen and exercised among us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.